Welcome to Education, Leadership, and Beyond, Surviving and Thriving. My name is Andrew Murata, host of the show, and welcome to the podcast live here on Facebook, proud member of the Education Podcast Network, Voicehead Radio Canada, wherever it is you are taking in your podcast, happy to be on here. We have switched to StreamYard is the platform I'm using. If you know anything about StreamYard and platforms and podcasts, I'm having a hard time linking it to my Facebook page. So if you know how to do that, let me know. I would appreciate that here. But thank you for tuning in. The sponsor of today's program is Audible. Audible now has hats, heartfelt acts for teachers, students, and staff. If you are a busy principal, like my guest today, Blaine Hunter, he's got young kids. He's a fifth-year principal in Kentucky. You know, might want to listen to books on Audible. Hats, Heartfelt Acts for Teachers, Students, and Staff is my latest podcast, my latest book, and it is on Audible. So check that out. But let's get started here on the program. As I said, Blaine Hunter is going to be today's guest. He is a principal at Sturgis Elementary in Kentucky, Union County, Kentucky. I'm going to learn why it's so beautiful there. Blaine has shared that multiple times, including when I first met him. But that's the opening topic, is when I first met him. I am very intentional about a lot of the things I do in my life, most of the things I do in my life. It's rare I'm just blown by the wind. But I happen to have some free time. I was at a conference this summer, KASA, shout out to the Kentucky Association of School Administrators. And I just happened to be there. I was at the bar waiting on the next session or waiting on whatever the next thing was. And in pops this guy and say, hello, how you doing? He pulls up and I forgot how we got talking, but we just got talking. And I met Blaine and, you know, we kind of hit it off. We had a lot in common and Blaine is writing a book. Blaine is doing some things in education that I have some connections with, and we connected and it was awesome. And I made a friend and I made someone who I've grown to know and become friends with. So it just got me thinking, right? It can't all be scheduled. It can't all be segmented and perfect like that. Sometimes you got to allow for some chance, right? If I had just went to the next event, if I didn't stop and have that time there, maybe we wouldn't have connected. And Blaine came to my sessions then and we were able to connect. And here he is on the podcast. So the point of the opening segment here is, yes, be intentional with your leadership. Be intentional with your time, but also make that pit stop, make that stop, make that free time where you want to see what happens or see who you can meet or who you can connect. And when those are available to you, take them, because by chance can lead to some great things, which leads to today's guest. Let's bring him in the podcast here. Blaine Hunter, everybody, from Union County, Kentucky. Blaine, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks for having me. Appreciate being on here.
Yeah, I appreciate having you on and appreciate the connection. Blaine, where is Union County, Kentucky? Where are you coming to us from?
So Union County, Kentucky is in the western side of Kentucky. It's kind of where Kentucky, Indiana, and Illinois all meet, right by the Ohio River.
Okay, very cool. And what are your thoughts there, Blaine, before we get into you and your journey? What are your thoughts there on that by chance or intentional about your time?
Yes. Very, very true story, by the way. That's exactly how we met. Just happened to be at the same bar, same place. I sat in one of your sessions, early bird sessions. I greatly enjoyed that. You know, we can only do so much. We can only plan so much. I'm in an administrative position. I'm a principal, like you said, an elementary school. And you think you can plan your whole day, plan the whole year. And sometimes some of the greatest things that you don't even see coming happen, like you said, by chance. and just, you know, leaving ourselves open to those moments. And yeah, great time in the bar with you that summer, this past summer, and glad to be on the podcast.
Yeah, and here we are, and again, a lot of things in common. But let's talk about you. Give us a brief introduction, Blaine, a little bit about what your school and you yourself. Again, the principal at Sturgis Elementary, yes. Union County. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yep, so I've been here for about 5 years at Sturgis Elementary. We're a relatively small school, about 360 students, depending on the month.
Perfect
schools, you know how that is. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Love it here. I was born and raised here. I moved away for a significant amount of time to Louisville for a while, and then Hawaii, and then came back to Union County. So it's kind of a roundabout way to circle back to where I came from, but I'm glad I did because I love it here. I love the community, and it's a great place to be.
Yeah. Wow, that's cool about Hawaii. We'll have to get into that.
Yes,
what's
sir.
It like being a leader in the town that you grew up? Did you go to school there?
I didn't go to school in this town, but a lot of my friends were from this town. So it has been very interesting to have known people in high school, and then I lost track of a lot of people. I left for a long time. Well, you come back, and now they have children, and now you're their child's principal. And so those dynamics are interesting and different. But it's been a really positive way to reconnect with where I'm from and feel like I'm back in my home, my roots, and be able to give back to that community as well.
Kentucky bluegrass back in the roots. Blaine, yes, tell us a little bit about you and your leadership. You're in your fifth year. You're finally kind of maybe a little comfortable. It's never comfortable in the principal's chair, but maybe a little bit comfortable there. You're settled in now, 5 years, good experience. Tell us about your leadership and your journey there at Sturgis Elementary.
Yes, yes. So I always tell people my first year was COVID, when COVID hit. So got to maybe March my first year. And then for those next couple of years, it was all about COVID and how we're going to get through that. And so I'm just now in these past couple of years feeling like I'm beginning to get a good chance at a true principalship and what that meant, maybe in the older sense and the new. But my leadership style, I like to kind of lead from my heart, lead by example. One thing I feel passionate about is a building administrator, any administrator in general, should be fully aware and have some knowledge of every component, every job in the building, and be able to jump in at any given notice. And when your staff see that happen, I think it only strengthens the community, the vibe of the building. For example, I've been driving some school buses lately. Getting kids around back to the county. And it's funny because I've actually found that to be a great moment to decompress because you can't think about anything else. You leave the building and boom, you got to be looking at the road. And so it's actually been a little beneficial to me, but that's how I like to lead. I like how to jump in there and be shoulder to shoulder with my staff. And because they're an amazing staff, our whole district's an amazing community. So I want to be right there with them.
We do a lot of stuff here in New York, Blaine, but that is not one thing they would let us do is drive the buses here in New York. But I love hearing that.
Yeah.
Again, small town, small school, someone wearing multiple hats. That's awesome. Blaine, you know, kind of that wide lens of leadership. What are your kind of top two or three initiatives as a school leader? Again, you're out of COVID. You're in the principal's chair. You're comfortable now. You're confident. You're established. What are those initiatives you're looking to accomplish this year?
The past year, my staff and myself, we started some conversations together about how to move forward. We've been talking about assessment, how to align assessments across our school, maybe even the district. Get back to that because common assessments were a thing that were just commonplace and done before COVID. And things got rocked a little bit. And for some reason, we haven't quite got back there yet. And being able to share aligned data with one another as teams and as a district team. And so we're working on getting that more aligned, those assessments in our, at least in our major curriculum points of reading and math, things of that nature. So that's probably the biggest thing we're looking at right now. We're trying to also improve the school as a structure, as a building. We just got a grant to install some new playground equipment and an outdoor classroom. So yes, very excited about that. So not necessarily an academic focus specifically, but just making that all around great experience for our students, to make it a place that they want to be and they feel comfortable and excited about being, because that's only going to improve their learning. Those are two big things that we've been working on here lately, along just with all the things that come in a school year and all the new things that occur and issues to deal with, and just keeping our heads on straight moving forward.
Blaine, the common assessments can tell you a lot of things, right? You're looking, yes. You see consistent, you see something really high or really low.
Yes.
Whoa, that's not the same as the others. What do you do when you see that bubble, either up or down? What do you do when you see some differences in those common assessments?
Right. So when that happens, I mean, that's a good thing, because it's something, okay, we can sink our teeth into that. Like there's a change here. There's a good or bad change, something we can look for. Sitting down with that team, whoever it may be, grade level team, got your counselor involved, or, you know, curriculum coaches, whoever's involved, what practices were being done, what's the background of those students, if it's a negative dip, what tier level instruction and interventions can we provide to those students? And if it's a good thing, find out more about those kids. Are they on the GT list? Are they getting those interventions? Do they need to be challenged more? How can we identify the tactics those teachers were using and share those with the rest of the staff in a way that's going to, they're going to see that and say, look, this is the data. This is what happened. It's not blowing any smoke. Make them excited to maybe get on board with whatever those teachers were doing initially.
Love sharing those best practices, right? Yes. What are the best people doing? You don't need a consultant from somewhere to come share the best practices. They're right in your building, right? And they're the ones that are doing the great things that everybody loves. And you don't need to be, you know, a master. You just need to be good at what you're doing there. And good for you to try to do that. Blaine, we're in a different time in education now. And I loved how you wrote this. Finding the balance between traditional and progressive in today's educational world, right? There's those things that work that we did as kids, but we're also in a new time where they're even talking about, should we have kids memorize dates that they can just look up, right?
Yeah.
You know, so that balance. Tell me about that struggle that you're going through right now as a school leader.
Yeah, so that's a conversation I've been having with people. It started last year with our school manager. We were kind of talking about issues that were going on that day. And we just started talking about how school and education from the past have been relayed to us as far as that, what expectations were, both academically and from a behavior perspective. And you get this, like, this good and the bad story. So, like, you look at traditional education, you get these stories of, like, oh, we got paddled. And it's like beating children isn't a good thing, right? Yeah, like slapping the ruler on the hands. But you do get the stories, the idea that, like, things were more structured. They had less behavior issues. I know if I look back, I was looking through some of my grandfather's, great-grandfather's, grandfather, I guess, his report cards and marks and how everyone wrote and the level of math they were dealing with at a young age. And so the expectations were high. That's a great thing. But it wasn't like the progressive model, the newer model. You're looking at individual needs, differentiation, like that child on an individual level instead of the whole school approach. So just trying to figure out ways that we can kind of take the good from the old and the good from the new and move forward together. And it's just a different way to think about it. And I don't know. It's just an interesting thought that's been in my head recently and I've been talking to people about.
I think that's a balance that we got to continue to move forward. Blaine, I remember the first time I didn't put a memo in the teacher's mailbox, a piece of paper, but I shot it via email. I mean, that's how old I am, right?
Like,
and it was such a, you know, I had to meet with people saying, hey, we're getting away from the paper and all that kind of stuff. But there's good in my, you know, good and bad to each one of those decisions. But I think we got to continue to move forward.
I agree. And, you know, you could apply that situation to a lot of areas. You know, even how we like the concept of, like, ability grouping. You know, you get a lot of pushback on that now, I think, lately. Of, well, we can't put these students in this group. They might think less of themselves. But if they put all the kids in together, they can push each other forward based on where they are. That can be really productive. So, again, just finding that balance depending on the situation.
Speaking of balance, Blaine, you're married, you're working in elementary school, you have a 3-year-old and a 7-year-old. you're around little kids a lot. Yes. How do you continue to grow as an educator, kind of separate out of the little kid business and grow your leadership? How do you do that when you're around it all day during the day at work and then you're around it all night at home?
Yeah. There is definitely that. I'm surrounded by little children all day, which is a good thing. It's a great thing. But when I'm home, I try, and it is a big try, to take my principal hat off, put the dad hat on, and then just be there for my kids, my little daughters, Effie and Charlotte. And, you know, just be there for them. But also that's an opportunity for me to kind of decompress. Like, I shouldn't be thinking about school, so I'm not going to think about school. Or if I didn't have that impetus to do that, I would just be thinking about it all the time. So I try to carve out that time mentally for my family and for myself.
Absolutely. Yeah. Is your oldest daughter with you at school?
She is not. She is not. She goes to where I went to elementary school, Uniontown Elementary. And we did that for a couple reasons. That's where we live. We're close to that area. She can take the bus to and from when she gets old enough to do that. But also just the idea to let, I'm a principal here. She's a student there. She's not the principal's kid.
Yeah.
And I'm not, you know, I wouldn't want that to compromise my professionalism, knowing my daughter's down the hall in a classroom.
Anything your daughter would win, they'd say, yeah. Oh, because of principal.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Like, who drew that name out of that bucket? You know, yeah. That type of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Blaine, I think as leaders, we start our day in the right way in the mornings. I think they're super important, building that morning routine. What are some morning success things that you have that really set your day to be successful?
So, I guess just get my mind, body, spirit right in the morning before I come in. I do little things before the day gets started, I guess. One thing, I brushed my teeth in a Malasana squat. I don't know if you're familiar with that yoga term.
No.
But I have an electronic toothbrush, and it's like a two-minute timer. So I know I'm in that squat position for 2 minutes. And it helps open up my hips and my back and kind of gets me loose for the day. And it's something I'm not carving out any extra time to do. I'm just like, I'm brushing my teeth.
So what's it called?
Malasana squat.
And that sounds like a mouthful right there. We ain't got that word in New York. Say it again.
That's a yoga term. That's basic yoga.
And is it just a straight squat? What is it?
Yeah, it's just you kind of put your hips out, feet out wide, squat down. Almost if you were doing your business in the woods.
Whoa. So you squat down first thing in the morning when you're brushing your teeth?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Opens me up.
Are you like drooling all over the floor? You got a bucket?
I try not to, you know, I try to keep it clean. But that's just one thing I've been doing the past year or so. And I don't know, it seems kind of silly, but that it helps me wake up and loosen up.
Wow.
And then I get going.
Yeah.
And I drink, make sure I drink water for anything else. And I get here early before anybody really gets in the building. And I'm woken up, I'm loose, I'm thinking about the day, I've got my plans ahead of me. And then the staff come to the building, they have questions, they have concerns. I'm ready for that. And it doesn't feel like I'm so like behind the ball if I'm just rushing in, you know?
Yeah. And then how do you manage, Blaine? Again, working in elementary school, the day can get turned upside down in a quick second. How much are you sticking to your schedule versus you got to deal with this, you got to deal with that, but you were planning on doing A, B, and C. How much do you delegate out? When do you come off your schedule to deal with that thing?
Right. And that kind of goes back to your theme for the show today, what you're intentional and chance. Like, chance is coming for you no matter what. Like, there's things that you don't plan. Every day I make my to-do list, and I'm sure a lot of principals, administrators do that. All the things you want to get done. Okay, this looks great. I'm going to cross these things off. And then as you mentioned, boom, something happens. A call, an incident, something occurs. You got to go deal with it. I mean, you have to think about the priorities, put the kids first. That student needs that attention. That student needs that help, that intervention or whatever it is, you go to them. And that's why that to-do list is so important. So, like, I'm sucked into a 45-minute situation. We finally get that all wrapped up. Okay, cool. They're great. Come back to my office. All right, what was I doing? All right, it's right there on my list. And that helps me keep organized, I guess. And plus, there's a lot of joy in like crossing that stuff off. And so it's a little pick-me-up bonus as you knock things off your list throughout the day. And what you don't get through, I hardly ever complete the whole list. Just the next day when I start a new list, I add things from yesterday and keep going from there.
Blaine, I bought this thing. I saw it on, I don't know where I saw it, but it's a little card holder. I got to keep the card right in front of me, right? When you get it done, like you said, cross it off the list.
Yeah.
Taking care of those things. So absolutely, there's some satisfaction there. Yeah, for sure. Blaine, you wrote, in the pre-show kind of talking here about some of the early decisions in your educational journey really have kind of inspired you to be, where you are today as a school leader. But you had some things early on. Can you talk a little bit about what were some of those decisions and some of those experiences that right now making you appreciate being the school leader that you are?
Yes. Again, it kind of comes back to just being open to challenges and risk, things that seem scary at first, and then just going for it. If you really feel like that's going to be the best thing for your life and for those around you, your family and all that. So I know when I first started teaching, I was in Louisville. That's where I went to school, University of Louisville. And this was back when everyone had teachers, apparently. And I was trying to find a job. And the only place that would hire me was an alternative school in Louisville. It's first year gig. And that seemed really scary, but I went for it, did it anyways. And it was an amazing experience. Liberty High School. Shout out to Liberty High School. And I was there for 3 or 4 years. And then my wife actually got an opportunity to go work, as I mentioned earlier, in Hawaii. She works in biology, and she was working with native species of birds, trying to keep them propagated on Hawaii, which, again, seemed really scary. I was like, oh, we just got settled here, and now we're going to the Pacific Ocean, across the ocean. It was scary. But we said, all right, we're going to do it, and we did it. We were there for several years, and then our first daughter came along, and we wanted her to be with family. And, I tell people, like, Hawaii is a great place to live if you don't want to see your family. <It's expensive. laughs> Christmas is, everything you do is expensive, plane tickets and all that.
Yeah.
But we said, let's do it. We moved back to where I'm from, which was a risk, had a good job set up. I didn't have anything lined up in Kentucky. I did that. So this trend of like kind of noticing in my life that when situations come up and they seem scary, but they also seem they would have great benefit, if you just get over that risk, that fear that you have, a lot of times there's a lot of positivity on the other end of that. So after I started teaching here in Kentucky, Union County, I started having conversations about administration. And again, that seems scary, but just go for it. And, being a principal has really opened up my life, my world, my perspective. And I wouldn't have had that experience if I not taken that risk. And I wouldn't have taken that risk had I not had those experiences earlier in my career. Yes, sir.
Beautiful story. Good for you. What was a takeaway from Hawaii? What was something that you brought back to you that you and your wife and your daughter still have in your life from Hawaii?
Oh, so many things. Hawaii is such a beautiful, beautiful place. We're on the island of Maui. Hearts out to Maui, city of Lahaina. We were on the other side of the island. We lived there. But so much of it's such a rich, rich culture there in Hawaii. For example, a term pono is something we brought back. It just means do what is right.
Mm.
So when things come up, kind of you don't know what to do, like just do what your heart feels, do what is right. Mm. There's a ton of things I miss. I miss the people, I miss the food, I miss surfing. You can't surf in Kentucky. So I do miss that. Food is amazing. If anybody ever been to Hawaii, the whole world comes to Hawaii. I mean, it's everywhere. All these countries are represented there, and the food represents that.
You can't surf.
Yes, you can. You can ski behind a boat, but you can't surf.
That was funny, Blaine.
Yeah.
Blaine, let's talk about inspiration, right? You're a school leader. You got to fill your bucket. You can't show up to work, kind of like, How do you fill your bucket? What inspires you? Who inspires you, Blaine?
Yeah, so definitely had those mornings where I'm in here. Again, I'm here early by myself. I'm just head down. But just thinking about the community, the kids, the teachers, the staff, everybody, and that principal role, you kind of set the weather a lot.
Yes.
And I want them to have a great experience, so, like, I got to get it together. And if I do that, I get out in the hallways, then the kids are walking down the hall. They're saying good morning. They're giving hugs. And, well, all of a sudden, that picks me up, too. And so that kind of feeds itself. So that gets me going in the morning. As far as people are concerned, like, who inspires me, currently right now, I got to say our superintendent, Patricia Sheffer. She's an amazing leader and hard worker and somebody I look at. You know, she was actually one of my elementary school teachers, so from back in the day. So now to see, kind of interact with her again in this relationship, this scenario, just watching how she operates and moves and puts all of herself into what we got going, and inspires me to do the same.
Love it. Great answer there, Blaine, for sure. And it's a journey, right? Each morning, and that inspiration, but it's all around us. Someone shared a couple of weeks ago on the podcast about treasure hunting. They go treasure hunting because the treasures are out there each and every day. And certainly being in the hallway around the kids is one of them for sure. So kudos to you. Blaine, I like to ask guests, you know, my message is surviving and thriving, right? My logo's up there with my heart, the things that inspire me. But what's that blank for you, right? If I took out the word and, what's the action, behavior, strategy, the thing for you that takes you from surviving to thriving in your world, personally and professionally?
So, you know, just speak professionally. There are days where I go home, and I'm sure everybody working in education feels this way, where you are just surviving. Like, you know, some days can feel crushing and you just, man, I got to do it again the next day. But oftentimes I found that, you know, if you give it a while, like a few days, sometimes I'll have a horrible, horrible Monday. And then by Friday, things I was worried about on Monday have been dealt with. That's good. A surprise burst of positivity came from interaction I wasn't expecting. And then, I feel great. You know, now I'm back in the thriving. But I wouldn't have that sensation of the thrive if I hadn't been in the negative of the survive. So I don't know that I'm ever just one or the other. It depends on the day, depends on the week and the situation. That's almost a cycle. So definitely feels good to thrive, but the challenges of the position, you know, cause you to feel like you're surviving sometimes.
This too shall pass.
Yes.
Yes. It's not what you're going through, it's where you're going to. And those are all challenges. Great answer, Blaine. What was something I did not ask you about that you wanted to talk about?
I will mention the book project I've been working on.
That's right. Forgive me. Sorry.
No, right on. Lots of good stuff to talk about. So it's this idea I've had the past couple of years, been working on it. And what I've done is take The Art of War, which is the great historical work attributed to Sun Tzu, and apply that to the world of education. And it's an idea I began in my head when early on in my career. I remember one morning I was my first year and I was sitting in my room. I'd been there early and I was all prepared. And I watched these seasoned educators that I've greatly respected rush into the copy room and like kind of squabble over who was going to get in there that morning. And I remember reading The Art of War in college. And there's a part in there that talks about the general who is first to the battlefield is prepared and ready. And the one who is rushing to the battlefield late is at a disadvantage. And that stuck in my head and just kind of like planted that seed. And so since then, I've been kind of working on the back of my mind in the past couple of years of kind of putting pen and paper, get those ideas down. And, you know, I feel like The Art of War, you can apply it to so many areas of life, so many avenues of life, and it has been. But I think that in education, maybe that hasn't been done so much because it seems like kind of a contradiction. Like, this is a book about war and killing people and like that seems scary and not at all in line with the nurturing world of education. But what I found studying the text is really what that book is about managing people around you, whether the, you can apply that to a business that you're running or a classroom that you're running or a school that you're running. And it very much presents this ideas of be prepared, keep flexibility in your mindset. You know, talks about, you know, water has no shape and no form, set form, but it's very powerful. It talks about balance. You know, for example, it speaks to say that, you know, if a general punishes his troops before they're drawn to him, it's catastrophe. And if they punishing is lacking that, that's a catastrophe on both ends. And I've chopped that up a bit, excuse me there. But there's lots of lessons to be learned in that book. And I've enjoyed putting that to applications in my educational career as well.
Combining your passion of education and history and
yes.
Bringing your worlds together a little bit.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's something I've been working on. I presented it and a few trainings and things like that. And that's actually what drew me to talk to you that day at the bar. Cause I went to that conference. I said, I'm going to try to find somebody who's written a book. And wouldn't you know it, first session I was in, there you were, talking about your books. And so I'm very blessed to get the opportunity to speak to you about that later on that day.
And we're going to take it off for you and get you out there. If you're a book publisher, reach out to Blaine here. If you're someone that has book experience, and Blaine, I invite you to join me January 1. I'll be doing my Write My Book session again. But it's a journey, Blaine, and it sounds like you have the perfect combination of passion, the topic you want to write about, but comparing it to education and how others can benefit. So kudos to you. Forgive me for not asking you about that. I don't know how I missed that question.
I made sure to get it in there, though.
Yeah, good save. I appreciate you. Blaine, yeah, and I wish you good luck. If I can help you with that project, certainly we're going to connect on that, and we'll connect you with some people here. But let's get to rapid fire, Blaine. I know you got parent-teacher conferences. I got the middle school play I'm going to head to shortly. These are rapid fire, not Hawaiian time, but quick answer. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Here we go. Last book you read.
Me and My Sister Bobby by Willie Nelson.
Oh, wow. Good?
Yeah, it's great. My aunt gave me that just randomly. It was a good book.
Last movie you saw?
Amsterdam on Netflix.
Mm. Last concert you went to?
Bubble Vest in the Venice Cafe in St. Louis.
Favorite dish?
Favorite dish, I'd say a steak from House of Como in a restaurant nearby.
Mm. Your favorite place to travel? You've been to Hawaii, you've been seeing the world. Favorite place?
I would love to go back to Hawaii, no doubt. But favorite place to go regularly is New Orleans, for sure.
Yes. Can you drive to New Orleans from where you're at?
Oh, yes, sir. Yeah, we drive to New Orleans.
How far? How far is that for you?
I'm not sure on the hours. It's a day. It's a whole day.
It's a full day.
Yes, sir.
But it's worth it.
It is. Once you get down there, it's its own individual world, New Orleans.
It sure is. Absolutely. On January 1st, I will be glad that I fill in the blank.
Hopefully have internet. And we live in a rural area, and supposed to be broadband coming to everybody. And hadn't hit us yet. So hopefully January 1st, I'll have a good internet.
The best principles are the best because?
Best principles are the best because they lead with their heart.
I agree. It's in the logo there.
Yes, sir.
At 8 a.m. on Saturday morning, I feel fill in the blank.
This time of year, I feel very at peace because I'm probably or most likely in a deer stand doing some bow hunting, some whitetail deer, and just enjoying nature and the calm and peace that all that brings.
What products, food, what is coming from that deer that you pluck with that bow and arrow?
So that's food. I have a local place here that'll process everything for you. Mostly I get it all ground up. They mix it with a little bit of beef fat. Mm. And then we eat on that all year. My wife mixes it into the dog's food. So, it's really sustaining. I love it. Hunting, eating, I love the whole experience.
I'm going to send you, Blaine, a little thank you for coming on the podcast. I would love to just happen to randomly get a deer jerky packet from Union, Kentucky. See what that tastes like up here in New York. If it just happened to come
we'll see what way. We can do. I'm sure we can make it happen.
I think that I heard they got deer jerky. Union County, Kentucky is special because?
Union County, Kentucky is special because right now, I mean, you look at a lot of rural communities. There's a lot of, there can be a lot of desperation, not a whole lot of lack of resources. There's a lot of lack of resources. And industry used to be there, mines that used to be there. But Union County still has a lot of resources going. We have mining, we have farm. We have people here who care about the community. And we also, I feel like, are getting, new ideas maybe in the community. People that care about presenting the community in new ways and opening new establishments, new businesses, getting involved in public projects in new ways. So I think there's a lot of heart and energy in Union County, and I love living here again.
Beautiful answer there. Really, really beautiful. What are you curious about, Blake?
Right now, I'm curious about tomorrow. We'll see. We'll see how it goes.
You got great hair, Blaine. What's your hair product?
Just trying to keep my scalp healthy. I try different shampoos and mixtures. I don't even know the names of them half the time, but I get kind of dried out. I just try to keep my scalp healthy, and hopefully my hair follows along.
Give it a little scrub. I like the scrubber. Trying to keep the roots solid. Yeah.
Yes, sir.
All right, Blaine. This is the one or two, yes or no. This is the pick one. You ready?
Got it. Let's go.
Cheeseburger or taco?
Taco.
Long walk or gym workout?
Gym workout.
Night owl or morning warrior?
Morning warrior.
Me too. Audible or book on, book?
Old school. Paperback, hardback, in my hands.
Ski, snowboarding, or I don't know what you got there in Kentucky. Which one?
We do some, not directly around here, but I've been skiing fairly close. Hopefully, I don't injure myself either way.
Series or movie?
Ooh, depends, but I'm going to have to go series.
Winter or summer?
Summer.
It's beautiful there in Kentucky for sure. Yes. Cookie or donut?
Cookie.
Coffee or tea?
Both.
College or pro sports?
College.
Surviving or thriving?
Right now, I'm thriving.
It's a little bit of both.
Yes, sir.
Blaine, I'm a quote guy. I love quotes. How about a quote to end the show here?
Yes, and I'll probably butcher this a little bit as well, but my first classroom ever, I had this above my chalkboard, and it said, be kind to everyone you meet, for they are fighting a hard battle that you don't even know about. So.
This is Blaine Hunter, everybody, from Union County, Kentucky, Sturgis Elementary. Yes, Blaine, sir. It was beautiful that our paths crossed. If I could help you in any way, I'd like to do that. Again, looking to publish a book, looking to get his book out there. If you're a book person, reach out to Blaine. How can I get in touch with you, Blaine?
So on Facebook at Blaine.Hunter. And then I have a Mozilla site, BlaineHunterMozillaSite.com. That's for the book, The Art of War and Education.
And up and coming conferences, check him out. He'll be submitting to you soon. This was Blaine Hunter. Blaine, I wish you the best of luck on your journey. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Yes, sir. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, Andrew Murata here, surviving and thriving. If I can help you in any way, don't hesitate to reach out at Andrew Murata 21 on Twitter or via email, AndrewMurataLLC@gmail.com. Blaine, stay on the line for a second. We're going to sign off here on Education Leadership Meon.